difference between knowing the path and walking.
The champ is here!
I'm feeling a little lucky tonight. I'm feeling very accurate.
You are neophyte. I'm simply trying to ascertain if this cowboy here is taking advantage of you.
Force can have a strong influence on the weak mind.
The skull of the acid leader. The area associated with submissiveness is larger than any human or any other subhuman species on planet Earth.
Denial is the most predictable of all human responses.
Hey, welcome everybody to Squid University. We're at a higher level of thinking, and tonight we're waiting for the professor, of course, to come in, as well as our resident tax guy to come in, and I see the professor's already jumped in. Our credit professor, Will Kimber Crowley. Will, what's going on, man? Welcome back to the show, Professor Crowley.
Hey, good to be back, Greg. Good to be back. What's going on?
Yeah, we have a good... I guess I have quite a bit going on. I guess they're still going to try to steal houses around here, and I have some of the necessary information to move forward, but we'll talk about that later on. It actually kind of ties right into the issue of motivation and how strongly a person can be motivated to do certain things. But before we get into the show's subject matter, tell everybody who you are and how they can get in touch with you.
Okay, great. Okay, well, my name is William Ekemba Crowley. Some people know me as the Credit Man. On the streets, I guess I'm known as the Credit Man. On the radio, I'm known as the Credit Magician. Those of you in the Florida area, you can hear me weekly on 1250 AM and 102.5 FM, The Bone. You'll probably be able to even catch some of that, some of those shows on YouTube or on the internet somewhere on the Real Estate Quarterback Show. So take a listen in. I've been doing credit repair, and I like to refer to it as credit restoration assistance. I've been doing that since about 1998 and been through a lot of different changes, transitions, et cetera, and kind of just been able to help people along the way to understand it from a more, I guess we would say we demystified the process and help people really understand it from a more ground level perspective and be able to implement a lot of these procedures where traditional credit repair companies, they're out there doing everything behind the scenes and don't want to let you know what they're doing. Our system is totally transparent, and you are learning what to do about credit repair, and we encourage people to make copies of all of our documentation so that you can see that there is work being done. And at the end of our services, which is about 12 months, if nothing's happened, then we'll give your money back. So that's why we want you to make copies of everything that you send to us and everything that we send to you. That means we're going to be giving you the disputes. Okay, all you have to do is sign off on it and forward it to the credit agency. That way you're learning what the Fair Credit Reporting Act is about, and even you're learning certain aspects of the Uniform Commercial Code and the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. And I think this has been much more beneficial to people than the traditional credit repair companies have been doing for the last 20 years or so. I also deal with validation of debts, Federal Trade Commission, the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, et cetera. So we're really out there trying to help people to understand the economy. Now, I know you've heard me talk and do presentation on this show in the past as it pertains to the Uniform Commercial Code discharging of debt, the Federal Reserve Banking System, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Still, hopefully, we're going to be talking somewhat on that. I guess all the shows are going to incorporate these subjects, as a matter of fact, because anytime I do a presentation, I try to incorporate all this as well. I kind of stumbled there because I forgot there's another gentleman that I need to get on this show. I'm going to send him a text here momentarily. He's down in Miami, and they're really trying to get a better understanding of the Uniform Commercial Code and how to implement some of its procedures effectively. So, nevertheless, my website is badcredithistoryrepaired.com. That's ED past tense for repaired.com. My Facebook business page is Bad Credit History Repaired, ED. And then, of course, my email is creditman47@yahoo.com. You can see a lot of footage of mine on gregdoss.com. Greg, they can see the footage, or they can just see some of my procedures or what on gregdoss.com.
On Greg, well, if they go to my YouTube page, they can actually see or hear the interview where you spoke about your involvement or your situation with your bills of exchange, as well as some of your other experiences. And, of course, on YouTube, they can also find out where we spoke about the protocols. And I think there's one other show there on YouTube, but they can go to your YouTube page or to your Facebook page and actually see your YouTube where you spoke about the credit issues.
Okay. All right. Great. Okay, so anyway, take a listen to that and to gregdoss.com, and you can kind of hear a lot of the stuff that we've discussed over the year, even including the credit restoration / credit repair. And we just want to be able to help people around the country to, I guess, you expand your overstanding. We like to use the word overstanding as opposed to understanding. Hopefully you'll be able to contribute a lot of this to your overstanding when we talk about the credit reporting agencies, the Federal Reserve banking system, the tax system, the Constitution, Uniform Commercial Code, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we explore a lot of different venues out there, and we encourage people to have interaction with us on this show. We don't sit up here and profess to know everything. We want to hear from the audience, but we're going to put our opinions forward, and we're going to put them forward forcefully because we've done the necessary research, we believe, to be able to do that. But we love the challenge. As a matter of fact, a show isn't a show unless we have people that are challenging us and disagreeing with us so that we can move forward. We don't need everybody to be in sync on the same page. We want that dialogue. We want discussion. We want differences of opinions and ideals. We encourage that. But you also have to understand we're going to challenge you as well. So you can reach me. My phone number, which is the same since I started my business, since 1998 or so, is 727-798-3092, and nobody goes through my service without first talking to me. So that's 727-798-3092, and we have, let me just end this by saying, we have a proven program, and we're not out there trying to rip anybody off like some of you idiots out there think that what people are trying to do. The real idiots are those out there that are not paying their bills and fulfilling their financial obligations. We're trying to get you over the hump, out of the rut of the situation that you put yourself into. The information on your credit report is because you did not pay your debts on time, and we're trying to get you out of it. So stop thinking that traditional credit repair companies out there trying to rip you off. You've done ripped off everybody else. We're trying to get you out of that situation. So tell people all the time, pay your bills on time, and you won't need to see me. Thank you very much.
Hey, okay. For some reason, the show got jammed for 15 minutes. I don't know what's going on with Blog Talk tonight. We definitely are doing it on purpose, and we're running the show until it kicks us off. But so what I'm going to do is, because it's telling me that I only have 8 minutes left, I don't know what the heck happened with the show. I don't know what happened with Blog Talk. But at any rate, we're going to run until we can get it out of here, because the show's always going to be, it's actually tonight supposed to be about motivation. And
right.
For self-motivation in anything and everything that you do in this world. And sometimes people rely too much on somebody else to do something for them, which, you know, it's interesting that you talked about it within your program. What you do is you give people what they need in order to move forward on themselves. And, again, self-reliance will stop placing expectations on others to do for you. Now, we can assist you, as Will does, and, of course, I'm not an attorney, so I don't have a license to practice, so I don't practice law. What I do is study law and tell people what I've learned based upon my experience and how I got the information. So I don't give any information as advice to apply to your specific case, but it's general information regarding the law and lawful principles. So please use any information for educational purposes only. And we tell you that because we want nothing we say to be construed to be legal advice. If you feel any legal advice, we would highly encourage you to hire a licensed and hopefully competent attorney. And I'm the 493 Bar Associated Attorneys that have been disbarred over the last 5 years in Florida. North of 6,000 to get a complaint filed monthly and then be legally advised. So we want I have to put that disclaimer out for the show. So any information that you hear from us, as Will say, I want you to say it's not true. We want you to go look it up for yourself so that you can come back and tell us why it's not true, because from that we can all grow. And as always, our second professor has found his way onto the platform or podium. Tampa's best kept secret. What's going on, Tony?
Hey, what's up, Greg? What's up, Will? Timber. I always give my spiel every time we get on this show about, you know, People's Choice Mobile Detail and all that other good stuff. So listen, you guys want your car, for all you guys that's listening, if you want your car or vehicle done right, the professional way, you want your car to look nice and handsome, then contact me. I don't care if it's a house. I don't care if it's a car. I don't care if it's an RV, motorcycle, whatever the case may be, a porch, a swimming pool, a patio, some concrete, whatever you need to have clean or pressure wash, I'm the man for the job. Stop fiddle saddling around with these chumps out here that can't do the job half right and then leave you stuck and stranded. Call me at 813-526-4426. Again, that's 813-526-4426. Because I'm about the only detailer, professional detailer that is out here in the city of Tampa, probably in Hillsborough County, that gives a damn about your vehicle. I put more effort into what I do. I take more pride in what I do than the average bear. Contact me again at 813-526-4426 or contact me at People's Choice Mobile Detail at gmail.com. And I'm going to just leave it at that. If you want your vehicle looking right, I'll keep it tight. Contact me. Thanks, Greg.
Yeah. Hey, no doubt, no doubt. Now, listen, people, I decided to come back on, and I've had a lot of people contact me lately about it's an ongoing issue, and it's about their child support situations and or their so-called perceived problem with child support and or trying to see or gain access to their sons and or daughters. And I can only give you my experience because I've walked that particular walk. But just as I'm, you know, dealing with the situation involving the homes that I acquired, it took a sense of motivation to learn information. And I talked to Kimba today and said, you know, Will, I want you to talk about your information, especially as it relates to the African experience. And I had a clip I was going to play, but because I don't know what's going to happen with our show now, because Blog Talk is giving us a runaround, and again, I apologize for it. It's not my fault. For those of you who are listening, we have listeners from all over the country, and we appreciate it. So even if you're around the country, you can get your vehicle to Tampa, Tony can watch it for you. Hillsborough County can watch it for you. But Will, what did you, you know, when you went on your journey to learn to do what you did, whether it was fighting, you know, dealing with the UCC, your vast understanding of credit restoration and repair, now your own specific program, something had to drive and motivate you to do whatever it was that you did. And I know there's always going to be naysayers whenever anybody essentially moves in a path or a trail that otherwise is previously uncharted. So what did you do when you started on your journey to become, and again, 20 years, and by the way, Will just received an award from, was it the Black Business Leaders of the Tampa for your 20 years in service, Will?
Yeah, from the black community at that, which that's pretty successful within itself, you know, because the black community definitely the most, you know, will scrutinize you more than anybody when it comes to these type of professions, you know, the financial, especially, you know, in the financial industry, child support, taxes, Federal Reserve, credit repair, et cetera. So, yeah, I appreciate that, too. I think Tony was in attendance. Tony was in attendance. I think you had another engagement, Greg. But that was
yeah,
about
football game or football game.
Right. Now, Greg, you also, now, I know we, just before I say that, now, we got a show coming up. I know you said this thing may time out on us. We've got an event coming up next week, right?
Oh, yes, we do. I'm so glad you mentioned it because I had actually forgotten about it. On the 10th of January at 1505 North Nebraska Avenue in Tampa, Florida, 33602, the Women on the Move Foundation will be sponsoring or hosting Will and myself for credit restoration / driver license due to child support suspension seminar or platform, symposium or what have you. And we'll be there. And I don't know if there's any cost for attendance. I think it's just a matter of people attending the event. And if you want to have any more information or know any more about it, I guess you can look on my Facebook page or contact Will or myself. I actually will end up posting this. And I'm glad you mentioned it, Will. But it'll be January 10th, 2017 from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. And again, it's at 1505 North Nebraska Avenue in Tampa. I believe it's the library, isn't it, Will?
Yeah, it's the library.
Okay, and
yeah.
definitely stop by. In fact, it's a really nice building. In fact, it's a really nice venue now, if I can think about the address. It's right next to Bossa Nova, south of 7th Avenue. So come on by, check us out, meet us, and if you have any questions, I'm sure we'll have pamphlets and pass out. And we'll always give the free spirited demonstration and explanation of credit, your credit report. And interestingly enough, it's come kind of into the light that they were actually selling credit reports that have nothing to do with your credit scores from Equifax. I saw something that was posted by Ms. Michelle Williams relative to your credit report. So they're actually selling a report that is in contradiction to the report that's actually used to determine your score. So we'll all know if you happen to see that article that TransUnion and Equifax had regarding it. I would pull it up again. I'm kind of nervous about the time, but we can definitely talk about it next. Well, Tuesday will be when we're actually at the meeting, I believe. But we can talk about it on our next Squid show.
Yeah.
Unless you're familiar with the information.
That's been going on for some time. I tell people all the time, don't rely on the free credit reports and the credit reporting agencies. The credit reports that's coming from the credit reporting agencies to you, don't rely on them as much. The most accurate reports that you're going to find out there is when you go to the lender. When the lender pulls your credit and is trying to qualify you for a particular loan or something of that nature. So your most accurate report will come from the lenders themselves. So anytime you're requesting an accurate report, definitely try to get it from the lenders. Now, most of the time, they're challenged by the credit reporting agencies not to release the information because the credit reporting agencies want you to come to them, pay for a report, or to give you some type of limited report. So always try to get the lender to give you their report so you can know the guidelines that they're undergoing to get you approved for the loan. I guess Tony can talk about his event that's coming up as well in February, but we can catch that, I guess, at the end.
We're not gonna do that event, Will. We're not gonna do that event.
Oh, okay. All right, I didn't know for sure. But anyway, so what I did want to say is that Greg had asked me just a minute ago prior to announcing the event that we're gonna do next week is that how I got into this or some of my experiences with it. And for the most part, I've been intrigued by finances for some time, over 30 years. I'm 55 years old, and I started this journey in my 20s, just trying to understand conceptions that have been that we've allowed ourselves to believe and even to execute and to participate in. So what I found is that throughout the whole financial industry, from the Federal Reserve to the central banks to even understanding the laws and codes of the Uniform Commercial Code, Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, the consumer laws, the Glass-Steagall Act, a lot of these banking laws, the House Joint Resolution 192, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, is that these laws, all of these laws and consumer laws or whatever you want to refer to them as, they don't mean anything unless we, the people, enforce them. What I find is that most of the people want to sit around and complain, saying that that's the law and they're breaking the law. They're not breaking the law until you fight them and expose them upon breaking the law. If you're going to lay back and just say that they're breaking the law and not do anything, we deserve what we get. And that's exactly what's been going on since I've been studying the so-called world of finance, is that most of the time, the same people that are complaining about how corrupt the system is are the same ones that are doing nothing but running their mouth and providing lip service, no action. And I try to encourage people, at least read and try to understand it. One book that I strongly recommend, and I was talking to a gentleman earlier today that called me who works for the Federal Reserve. He's a 29-year-old gentleman, and he told me he worked for the Federal Reserve, and I started to question him on it. And he knew about nothing about the Federal Reserve. So I recommended a book, and as I do on this show all the time, called The Creature from Jekyll Island by G. Edward Griffin. It's a second look at the Federal Reserve. Once again, it's The Creature from Jekyll Island by G. Edward Griffin. It's a second look at the Federal Reserve banking system. And it really, I read the book about probably about back around 2000, 2001, 15, 16 years ago. And that book really opened my eyes up and showed me even how dumb I was and ignorant I was of how the financial industry works. And this book, a lot of people have written off as conspiratorial in nature and things like that. I tell people, whenever you want to throw that word around conspiracy, et cetera, you go and read and then do your own necessary research and see if it's true or not. Most of the time when people are saying conspiracies, if you go and do the research on it and really check it out, you'll find that everything that they're saying is a conspiracy is actually true, in fact, and it's going on right as we speak. And we're participating in it and acting as though we're victims. I hate that word victim because none of us are victims. We're just ignorant and we're getting what we deserve. If you choose not to study and challenge this stuff, like all you fake Christians out there who think you know the Bible, one verse, I think one of the most important verses in the Bible is Hosea 4:6, which says, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." Now I'm paraphrasing it. The whole verse, but the most important aspect of that verse there is, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." So if we're not going to pursue knowledge,
the second verse probably equally is important, not more important, because they stop it right there. But the second part is when I first begin to communicate with Tony and some other people, was the second part is because thou hast rejected the knowledge. I'm reading it exactly from the King James. "I will also reject thee, and thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God." Not a man, of thy God. "I will also forget."
Well, that's the most important part.
That's the most important aspect of it. And that's including when it comes into the motivation, which goes back to the rendering of Caesar with Caesar, rendering to God with God, as well as Romans chapter 13, where it states that, well, we're to the higher powers and those which are ordained by God. And I'm sorry, because I'm not going to get this prompt from somebody saying, "Greg, you speak quickly when you begin to cite the statutes, the scriptures, or the law." Okay?
Excellent.
It says you're only to the higher powers and those which are ordained by God. Okay? And that's a paraphrase of Romans chapter 13. But don't take my word for it. Go look it up in your so-called Bible. And then ask your pastor,
exactly,
why didn't he bring that to you?
Read that last part again.
Which one? The Hosea or the...
Hosea 4:6.
The Hosea or the Romans?
Hosea 4:6.
Oh. When it slowly is, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. And thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." So when you talk to pastor about this, or whomever it is, and there's a correlation within the Quran as well. I'm just not as well versed in the Quran, but we can go pull it. Here we have people who are listening to this show, as we appreciate you all for listening, that can bring it back to you. Because the people say Allah, but forget it, all law, which is the universal declaration of all law, which is something that you can never get around. They can write a bunch of rules, but man can never write law. He can't recreate what is already created. It's there. So when they bring it into the books and they bring it into the verses, it goes back to that whole issue of Luke chapter 11, verses 44, downward, when he spoke to the lawyers, when he said, "Woe unto you, lawyers, for you lay men with burdens grievous to be borne, yet ye yourselves touch the burdens without one of your fingers." Now, I know that pretty well, but I've read it so many times. But as you move further down there, closer to 53, it says, "Woe unto you, for you take away the key of knowledge," and so the law schools, "enter not in yourselves, they're not studying law. And for those who try to enter, you hinder." And for anybody who tries to go in there and speak on their own behalf, as I've learned from my number of encounters, and I have more to come, definitely, obviously, and apparently, what they try to do to you within that stricture, because they understand they're not protecting the system. We are the system. What they're doing is protecting their own interests. Because if the law as it is did not work, there would be no explanation for the ability for certain people like you, whether it was Will, myself, and even Tony, or the others who've had success, who've utilized the law. The rules and the writing of the rules are what they try to utilize in order to further their own interests, and I'm saying that absolutely, and that is in contradiction to what you will find in Article 2, Section 8 of your Florida Constitution, as well as Article 6 of the United States Constitution, and what is the supreme law of the land. So, but this comes to the studying issue that I think Will is going to go a little bit further into as to whatever it was that motivated him to be the reader that he is.
Right. And I think Tony wanted to say something on that Jose 4 and 6 as well. Were you saying, going to chime in and say something on that, Tony?
Yeah, I'm sorry, but what I wanted to say, what I wanted to say is what you were pertaining to what you were saying earlier about people who are always thinking that, well, this is all you guys just conspiracy theorists, this and that and the third. First thing I will always say to anybody who thinks, you know, that a person is a conspiracy theorist is that once you start researching the history of the world, or just start looking at history for what it is and look at historical facts, then no longer can you call a lot of the things that you're just armchair quarterbacking and say, oh, that's just conspiracy theorists. So once you start looking at some of the historical facts, like, for instance, G.L. Griffin, from the guy who wrote The Creature from Jekyll Island, once you start looking at some of the things that he says in the books and start researching it for your own self and due diligence, and you'll see that the information that he puts in the book is consistent and it turns out to be a historical fact, then you can no longer say rightfully, well, you guys are just conspiracy theorists. Because remind you that the conspiracy theorists, some of the best ones, are police detectives. And police detectives always find their man, the good ones, that is. So all you have to do is just start looking at the historical facts of things, just like the Bible, and you'll find out, and I'm sorry to crush a lot of you Christians out there, but you'll find that a lot of the participants in the Bible or the figures in the Bible did not exist at all historically. But yet and still you have people who to this day will go and go and celebrate Christmas and get all caught up in the crisis of the masses. And then once you start researching it, you'll find out there's some historical value to it, and you'll be like, oh, okay, I can put two and two together, and, you know, you can start seeing it for what it really is. Remember what you just said, Greg, in Hosea 4:6, you know, my people shall be destroyed for lack of knowledge. So with that being the case, what do you really know? What can you really tell me? If I tell you that the sky is blue, and you come back and you say, no, you're armchair quarterback, and then you say, no, the sky ain't blue, the sky is gray. And who's right and who's wrong? Unless you do your due diligence and find out what's really going on. And so that's all I really wanted to say and add on, you know, just piggyback off of what you were saying, Will, about this conspiracy theory stuff. It's time that we put it to rest. And something else that you were saying, Greg, and I'm sorry for going off about the rant, but it's something else that you were saying that kind of just piqued my interest, because if you're going to believe in the Bible, if you're going to believe in that type of thing, that's fine. I have no problem with a person believing in the Bible, but you got to understand the time frame that we're dealing in and the time frame that Bible was written in, the time frame that Jesus supposedly existed. He was existing in the Piscean Age. And when you break down the Piscean Age according to historical facts, the Piscean Age was the time of belief, the time of faith, and the time of hope. As Jesus said to his disciples, if you believe in me, then you believe in the Father, because his disciples always asked him, well, who is his Father? And Jesus always replied, you're looking at him. And if you can believe in me, then you can believe in the Father, and then we can all be one and the same. That was the Piscean Age. He told his disciples later on, listen, I can't be with you forever. It's time that I go. But when you see the man down the road that's holding a water barrel, then you need to follow him into his house. Now we're talking about the Aquarius age, the age of knowing. And if you look at it today, there's nothing in the world that you cannot find out. This is the age of knowing. So when you start pointing the finger and saying, well, I can't do this and I can't do that, you get what you deserve. Because you put yourself in this situation, and there is no reason for you not to know what it is that you need to know today. And that's all I want to do. I'm sorry for the rant, but I just wanted to get that out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And go ahead.
I believe you wanted to talk to John where he talked about when they were worried about what was going to happen to him, and he said, you believe in God, but you also believe in me. Don't let your hearts be not troubled. Believe in God and believe in me also.
Right.
And if nothing else, because they can always move around when it comes to wording, and they're word wizards, but the spirit is always going to move. And that's what's going to be challenged first, because don't forget, as I've told other people, you're not going to go fight with the flesh and blood people. That's not your real enemy. It goes back to a lot of what Will and Tony have introduced on this show, as well as what I've learned from the reading, is it's the puppet masters behind the scenes. And that's why motivation and reliance has to be in you, because the next person can't be your motivation. Now, well, maybe it could be your inspiration. They can't be your motivation, I would think, because that would mean that your desire will move only as far as they can pull you. Sometimes you have to dig farther and deeper to become successful at the things that you might want to be successful in. And in this, it was kind of interesting that this generation of us, so many people look to somebody else to do something for them. And I'm speaking specifically to the men and or the women, but especially for the men, because a lot of men have become stagnant over the last 30 years. And I'm not speaking to what I've read solely. I'm talking about what my eyes have seen. We don't have revolutionary individuals, and I'm not going to speak to it necessarily in the context of picking up weapons necessarily, but we don't stand up for anything in any capacity in any way, because sitting in, die in, and march in is not doing us any good.
Yeah, it's really...
Those are the expected, they're almost treating it as if those are the expected behaviors of the oppressed. Oh, they're going to cry, they're going to bitch, they're going to moan. They're not going to really do anything. And in the face of opposition, they're going to quit. But that's the time that the weights are supposed to matter. That's the time that the fasting is supposed to matter. That's when the study has to increase. And it can't be lip service. Will, you going to say something?
Yeah, it definitely can't be lip service. I'm glad you touched on the revolutionary aspect of it. But I was talking to someone earlier this week, and this was a person from a religious persuasion. I think I deal with the Hebrew Israelites, Yahweh ben Yahwehs, and the Nuwabians, and a lot of different so-called religious groups out there. And I tell people, if you are part of any type of religion, whether it's Buddhism, Hinduism, Judaism, I kind of put a parenthesis around Judaism, and that's a discussion within itself. But nevertheless, the isms being Christianity, or even the Islam. If you read these holy books, we won't really even need any Constitution, Magna Carta, Uniform Commercial Code, Fair Credit Reporting Act, Fair Debt Collection Practices. We don't need none of that, because most of these laws derive from those books anyway. If we could take these books and rid ourselves of the abstract religiosity of it and study from a spiritual perspective and understand that, listen, these are the laws of nature. If I can just incorporate these into my everyday goings-on, and you know, that's a real liberal term there, but on my everyday activity, I can be able to address any contradiction that confronts me from a spiritual level. And I'm not talking about this abstract spiritualism that a lot of us embrace, but I'm talking about the constructive, the scientific, the principled spiritualism, which guides us to say we're going to go by the laws of nature. Therefore, we're going to outlaw, disband any type of system that is contrary to that or a contradiction of that. The holy books are there to provide us that type of understanding. But what we do is we've allowed ourselves to be tied up in this abstract spirituality, so-called religious aspect, where we're sit up and saying we're waiting on some fucking God to do for us what we should be doing for ourselves, because we are the fucking gods. I want to make sure people out there understand that. I get a little more brutal than other people when I'm explaining this stuff, but I've been talking about this stuff for the last 20 years, and it kind of gets frustrating when we're talking about this, because people can't seem to want to take responsibility for themselves. They always want to point the finger and blame every goddamn body else, every other circumstance except for themselves. If we can start to understand the power that we have and the responsibility that we have, once we start to execute our own set of laws and rules and regulations based on nature and universal law, we will find that all these abstract interferences will be, if not totally eliminated, it will be hugely eliminated, and it will be able to allow us to do what we need to do to survive in this world. Because we've embraced these so-called holy books, but not from the perspective of some type of execution where we can rid ourselves of the contradictions in society. Now, I hope I wasn't too confusing in that, but the bottom line is, if we take ultimate responsibility as the gods that we are, we can eradicate the majority of the contradictions that we've created in this society. We've created it based on our participation in it and our inability to fight against it. So we have to understand it from that perspective. If we don't, then we're going to perish from the lack of knowledge, just like that holy book says. And he continuing what Tony and Greg have said about you will be rejected. You damn right. We are the guys that are rejecting knowledge. Therefore, we are rejecting ourselves, and therefore we're going to suffer the circumstances of it or the consequences of it. I'm sorry.
Well, you won't be like you just said. Well, it's like you will be. You're putting that in a futuristic tense, and it's not even. I mean, if you look at it, it's present right now. We are being rejected. I mean, because we're not looking at ourselves like we are gods, and gods take responsibility. Gods make shit happen. That's the whole idea and the purpose behind it. And if you can't take responsibility, and if you can't make nothing happen, and if you depend on somebody else to make moves for you, then you deserve what you get, and you're not a god. And so you will be rejected, or you are going to be rejected as in now. If you look around what's going on today around the country, around the world, we, the ones who lack the knowledge, are being rejected. And we're being rejected by the monster that we created, which is this government, this Federal Reserve. We allowed it to happen. And so we're kicking our ass right now, you know?
That's exactly right. It's kicking our ass, and we deserve it. We deserve it. So, but Greg, the topic, your title of the show, I want to make sure we stick to that. Well, I haven't got to pull it up here. We're not going too far off track, are we here?
No, well, the issue is self-reliance and self-motivation, and you're going back into, which is really where it's supposed to come from, the spiritual element and the spiritual world, not the religious world. Because religion, by definition, is the realignment or the reorganization of your thinking and or your habits. Essentially, I think it's called a ritual. Anyway, you know, you do things ritualistically, which have less to do with the spirit than just following a certain pattern by which you do things. And when it comes to many of the people today, we just go by what we've been told. Even when it comes to issues that are statutory versus spiritual and also lawful, because once it's yours, it's always yours.
Yes,
unless some natural act of the creator of the universe or some lawful act takes place to get rid of it. And I think that what's happened is it became part of the speech or whatever the culturing for this generation, that we just go by what we've heard. A lot of people don't actually study. And when you go into even to these agencies, you think that the person there knows the law. No, they just know their job. So the only thing that's going on is they're just regurgitating what they've heard. And it's an unfortunate reality that too many people have fallen into. So it gives the illusion, as Will said, that somebody is victimizing you when, in fact, you're allowing yourself to be abused or whatever the word that Will use without necessarily the explicit is. I'll let him use them on this show. I'm sure Squill will find a way to use them on this show. But it's necessary because it's become very serious. And in light of what we don't know went on a few Tuesdays ago, but versus what we know is apparently in the horizon, in a close horizon, it's the time for putting too much attention into things that don't really matter is long past us. And as the so-called black melanated or whomever, even if you are non-melanated, Caucasian, white, whatever you may want to call yourself, and in fact, when you look at the definition of white, many would be very surprised. Stop blaming who you put in position to do a job for not doing the job, and then you not demanding that they be removed for not doing the job. And if you need
you need further assistance, go to Chapter 876 of the Florida Statutes, which is criminal anarchy and other crimes against public order, and begin to read downward. And if, in fact, that small group of individuals are operating outside of the tenets that are prescribed within the Constitution, whether you believe in it or not, or even biblically, because that gives you another fighting position, then the people have the right to remove them. And I believe that it was Thomas Jefferson that says, when such measures come that the government begins to be tyrannical to the people have the right to overthrow it. You don't have to I'm not going to ever in any way encourage sedition or people going up there with pitchforks or what have you, but I will support you exercising everything within the strictures and within the structure of the process, the Republican process, which is, you know, going back to the people, the Republican process that every state in the Union pursuant to Article 4 of the U.S. Constitution guarantees you. See, the people are the power. Now, Will, you're a little bit older than I am, and Tony, I'm a little older than you, but some of the things that I watched go on today, I know couldn't have gone on in the days of the town hall meetings or when the community got together to discuss an issue that was bothering people. They would do what was necessary to not let it happen. And maybe not necessarily those who look like us, but those who look like us got together to do something at some point to move forward. And now it's almost as if we live in a generation, within a generation of people who expect things just because it makes them feel good to expect it. You don't want to work for anything. You don't want to put any of your own blood, equity, and sweat into it. And then you have the nerve to talk crap because somebody may not want to spoon feed, kitty feed, fondle you, or whatever it is that turns you on to get the end and remedy that you are seeking.
Yeah.
That's not an adult perspective to take. Go ahead, Will.
It's definitely not. I'm just trying to piggyback off what you're saying. You know, with the title of the show being Stop Placing Expectation on Others to Do for You What You Can Do for Yourself. And that's exactly what I found as well. When you say people don't want to go read this information, a lot of times I deal with even a lot of so-called educated idiots. I mean, I'm talking about people with PhDs who I've told about particular books like Sheikh Anthony Jopp's Civilization of Barbarism, and they read it too complicated of a read. And I've said, wait a minute, you got a PhD and such and such and such and such, and you say that this book is too complicated to read? So because most of us are conditioned to read this information that is really essentially dumbing us down, and it doesn't really even give you any type of material where you can become a god and start participating in changing your conditions like you should, but you've been taught, you've allowed yourself to be taught and brainwashed on how to become part of the system, how to defend the system, how to defend your own enslavement, your own oppression, and then they glorify in it with the so-called degree. So I can now beginning to understand why these are difficult reads when I offer books like The Creature from Jekyll Island or The Web of Debt or Usury in Christendom. These books are not your commonplace literature for the so-called educated elite or the educated idiots. What they're reading is the information that just keeps them in this box and keeps them oppressing themselves and also oppressing others. I'm sorry, I said impressing. I meant oppressing others and oppressing themselves. So we are going to have to become the gods and start doing what we need to do to free ourselves. The slave master is not going to free you, even though we're under that illusion that the slave master will. But the slave masters who we put in power in the first place by the lack of knowledge and the ignorance that we possess and we refuse to let it go, that is the oppressor, that is the slave master, the ignorance. And the knowledge is the freedom fighter. And so until we become that, and I'm not talking about just absorbing yourself in the organization, because a lot of times people want to become parts of organizations that are old, that are extremely, to me, outdated. And can you hear me? Okay, I had a call. Am I still on?
Yeah, you're still on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we become part of outdated organizations. I'm not knocking organizations. I came up through a lot of different organizations myself. But at the same time, what I found is that when you go into the organizations, you still have to have a mind of your own and be able to challenge the dogmatic illusions that you may consider dogmatic illusions or ideals that are outdated or are incorrect. The only way you're going to learn it is to challenge it. And a lot of times organizations force you to suppress your ability to challenge things and to accept it, what they're doing, as the ultimate, you know. Oh, that's my son that keeps calling. Let me bring him in.
Okay. But one of the things that Will said.
Go ahead, Tony.
I was saying that one of the things that Will was saying, you know, as far as challenging, you always want to keep your own mind.
I'm sorry, I'm back.
Yeah, you always want to keep your own mind when you are in these organizations, because you'll find that, as I found out when I was in a particular organization, you'll find that you'll get lost within the organization doing any and everything you can just to shine or have your moment in the spotlight of that particular organization, not really caring whose toes you're stepping on or what it is that the teacher is trying to teach you. All you'll really care about is having that light shine on you so that particular teacher, individual, Swami, or whoever the hell he may be, you know, when it comes time, he looks your way. And maybe, you know, you'll find that maybe he can give you some peace and blessings and stuff like that. But if you don't keep your own mind and if you don't challenge, then you'll never grow and you'll just be absorbed within the organization or the system that you sought to learn from. You follow what I'm saying, Will? So I'm just going about what you're saying about when you were in the organizations, you always want to continue to challenge it. Whether you know, challenge that the particular head of it, or just even if you challenge those your peers that are in the organization with you, you know. But you have to challenge, because if you don't challenge, you'll never grow. And that's like somebody taking you out to a swimming pool, and on one end you have the 3 feet, and on the other end you have the 20 feet, and you think you know how to swim because you're floating and you see both your feet up and you're kicking them and, you know, you're in the 3 feet. But, okay, I got to test your comfort and I got to bring you out into the 10 feet and I got to bring you out into the 20 feet to see if you really know how to swim. And that's the same thing we have to do when we get into these organizations. That's the same thing we got to do when we so-called challenging somebody, not just to be challenging just to hear yourself talk, but you're challenging because you're not fully understanding what it is that this person is talking about. So you need clarity. You need a better understanding. And so I have to test that comfort zone, because if I don't test it, then I'm not going to grow. So, I was just coming back and following up with what you were saying, Will, about that challenging.
Well, part of it is that sometimes, depending on who the hierarchy is, and I haven't been a part of any major organizations, I think, since I left, well, maybe the Teamsters, but I haven't been a part of, before that, I think it was the United States military. But sometimes the hierarchies or the higher-ups, or even some of the rank-and-file people who may be in the organization, may look at your challenge or your even questioning the direction as being in some sort of way treasonous to the organization, when sometimes maybe it takes another position or another method to further the group's goal. And instead of us being so offended by somebody else who's doing something differently, there's nowhere is it written in law that says, well, you can't allow them to go their own way, doing the way they want you. You still pay attention. You move your way, you can still be cohesive, because if the end desire is the progress or the forwarding of the people, then that how it's obtained, it shouldn't matter who obtains or helps obtain it. What should be most important is that it gets obtained. And I think backbiting, is that the right word today? I don't know what today's word is. Too much backbiting, cutthroat, backstabbing, whatever you want to call it, whenever somebody else moves forward, seems to take place. And another thing that I've noticed, Will, in some of the places that I've been lately, is the audience has gotten older, but there's no younger replacements. I don't know if you've noticed that in some of your groups when it comes to some of these so-called political action groups, especially if it involves so-called black folks, everybody in the room is over 35, over 40. Well, the reality is that we're on our way out. There has to be some replacement down the road. And at some point, young folks, if you're out, I know you're, younger people are listening to me because you probably want to hear me talk about child support or licenses or something. We'll get to that on another day, plus you killed that. Young folks, y'all need to be speaking for yourselves. Everybody else is making decisions and determinations, Will, about what young people need and what they need to help themselves, and there's no young voice in the group to say, well, that may not necessarily be what we want to do today. So essentially, young folks are following a doctrine that may not even be applicable to their future.
Yeah, now saying that, Greg, I've got one of my sons on. He's 19, and I wonder if he want to chime in from a young person's perspective.
The average age of the dying in Vietnam was 19, wasn't it? That's where the song came
from,
right?
Yeah, yeah. But now he said, hey, Kieras, are you there right now?
I'm here, Dap.
Okay, now listen, first of all, you said you tried to call in and it said your session has ended?
Well, let me refrain from saying that. It said that my session has not yet started. I was on, but then I got off. I got back on, well, briefly disconnected. I got back on, and next thing you know, it said that my session hasn't yet started. So I don't know what's going on.
Once you get kicked out, it only gives like an hour of overtime. It doesn't let you come back in. I don't know why it only gave us 15 minutes, and I know I scheduled it for an hour. And that would give us 2 hours. But it's okay.
I want to hear from your point.
Go ahead, Greg. Did he
want to say something?
I'm not sure what my dad
wanted
to chime in on.
What Greg was saying was that, you know, we got this generational gap. You know, I guess you're considered Generation X or whatever the generation is that you're in.
I think he's trying
to get out there and do things. I'm sorry.
No, Kieras, aren't you a millennial, Kieras?
Uh-huh. Say it again?
No, Kieras, aren't you all called millennials?
Millennials, yeah.
Yeah, that would be us. We're millennials.
And the millennials, y'all look at things from a different perspective, don't you, Kieras?
We look at things compared to a lot of the older folks, not calling you guys like super old, but we do look at things a lot different as far as the way you can tell because of the demeanor that we have. It's a lot different. The way you guys were raised by your parents, and you see how things are going on with where you're supposed to be raised by your parents, you see that our generation, we kind of refrain from going the same way and following the same rules that you guys do. Not to say your rules are wrong or our rules are right, it's just that it's a difference. I don't know if it's the time or the way the world is now with technology and how everything works, but there's a big gap in the way of our thought. I could definitely say that. But besides that, we're still humans. We're not that much different.
And let me just chime in on that because, I mean, that there's always, no matter what era, time frame we're in, there's always going to be the generational gap. And what we're trying to do is bridge that gap to say, listen, I understand what we did in our generation. We just want to share with you all. We don't want you thinking we're telling you all what to do. We're sharing with you all our knowledge and our experiences so that you can incorporate them into your strategies of your generation and say, okay, listen, we can use these different strategies and ideals and philosophies from the previous generation and incorporate it into what we're trying to do in our generation.
Yeah.
So that's what we're trying to do, if I'm correct here, Greg or Tony.
Essentially, they take over to take care of us. What I wonder about sometimes is the thinking method and what's the foundation of the thinking method. Because those of us at our age know that a lot of what the young people get for their ideology is really manufactured, and I really do mean cooked up, manufactured, among a few that control the mediums for information. So they can put out, I think, Tony, the word misinformation, and the misinformation is taken as gospel because you just don't see a whole lot of study dedicated to scrutinizing the information that's there in front. And I don't see a lot of young folks, other than jumping on old folks that look like them, really getting involved in politics or within the, not necessarily politics from the traditional standpoint, but a political movement in any kind of direction that's going to benefit or further even their own objectives. It seems that there's a lot more complaining. But your strength is needed to move the entire culture or generate the entire generation or whatever you want to call it, community forward. Old folks, you know, your dad and I are again, on our way out. We may feel great, but the reality is your father and I combined, I think, are 103. That's just the reality. And we weren't getting it shared with us, not to this degree coming up. I know I wasn't. Will, did you ever have people that put it out there in front of you who really had something to give, or were they like they had assimilated and got real comfortable? That's what I saw. A lot of people do real well in life and get real comfortable, and not even do well, just be comfortable with their existence and not want to rock the boat. And I think that I should call it apathy, Will, is what has led to us being bad grandparents and in some instances even parents for those who are in our generation.
Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying. Tony, did you want to say anything on it before I respond?
Well, yeah, what I was going to say, because earlier you were saying about this generational gap, one of the bigger things that I see between someone like Kier's or my son, you know, who's a couple of years older than Kier's would be, you know, is the impatience that they have. But it also goes back to what I was saying earlier about, you know, when I was mentioning the Bible verses about, you know, the difference between knowing and believing. And I think in, say, for instance, our generation, Will, you know, me and Greg, our generation, everything was, you know, patience. It was about patience. It took time. Mm-hmm. To get things done, whereas this generation nowadays, you know, Generation X or the millennials, you know, everything is got to have it now. I need it now. You know, it has to be processed now. And if you look at that, that's like a direct correlation with what we were talking about as far as being the water bearer. The water bearer is we're in the age of knowing, the age of information, you know, so. Like, when I look at the youngsters around here, they're impatient but they have no guidance in so much as they don't have the patience that we have. They don't have the guidance. They don't have the wisdom. And I guess that's the word I'm really looking for, is the wisdom. They're in the information age where they need to know it, and they need to know it now, versus we will go through 10, 15, 20 years to find out what it's all about. And so When I say that, I'm talking about, you know, that Piscean age, the age of believing, the age of hope, the age of faith. You know, there is no such thing as that anymore right now. The millennials are hyperactive, meaning that I got to have it now. Just like the commercial, it's my money, I want it now. I want it now. There's no reason why I should have it now. And so I think that's the big difference. And so we have to meet somewhere in the middle to say, okay, well, I understand, you know, you guys are you ready, and that's a good thing. We should be able to use it to our advantage, but I think it's misdirected. I think they don't have a direction to go to, and I think that's the gap that's between, say, my generation and somebody like Kier's generation, is we're not guiding them, you know, like they should be guided, because we're not giving them the wisdom and the patience to understand and overstand what it's all about. They're ready to fight. They're ready to fight now, but they don't know what the hell they're fighting for. So basically how I see it or interpret it.
I would probably agree. Well, the fact they don't know what they're fighting for may not be fair. I just don't see any real strategy that would take a lot of them forward. And one of the unfortunate realities, because, and Will fought against this as well as I did, not to the degree that Will did in suing the school boards. As a person, as someone who's actually employed by the school systems in Hillsborough and in Leon counties, I saw what appeared at the time to be a deliberate dumbing down. Now, naturally, I didn't have the body of information that I have now. But in going back and looking at it, I'm thinking that I saw the beginning of what is now a proliferation of non-intellectuals, like Will said, reading of a book. Some of these book readings should not be, they're not laborious, and it shouldn't be an arduous task that couldn't be overcome. The problem is they don't have a desire. If it's not read to them or if it's not put in imaging, a lot of reading doesn't take place, and that's even exemplified in when you look at the reading scores. So even as they begin to change and shift language of certain rules that may affect their lives, the young folks, Will and Tony, and even Kiaris, you may speak on it, have no clue what the language is. And quite frankly, English is the only language that most of us have ever been exposed to as a first language. So to have no mastery of it or to be mystified by it is a sign of laziness, to be quite honest. But if you can't write and read, you're not going to progress. It has nothing to do with what you think about their educational system. It's just a matter of survival and what you can pass down to future generations. Yeah. Will or Tony, we want to take it from there, or if you disagree.
Well, I want to hear what Kieran, you want to respond to that?
Well, hold on, before he does. I would sort of kind of agree with Greg in saying that, yeah, it's, you know, somewhat has to, it does have a lot to do with the education. You know what I'm saying? It's just like this thing that's going on with the hacking. They're saying that, oh, well, Russia hacked, you know what I'm saying, the United States, and they affected the voting polls and the whole nine. But why is it so hard to convince, you know what I'm saying, a lot of people that if you just do your due diligence, you'll see that Russia probably, if they, you know what I'm saying, they probably didn't have anything to do with it, more or less. Or, and I'm just throwing that out as an example, but I'm just saying that anything that requires reading. So what the youngsters are looking at now is like, boom, the information is there, it's right there. Let's go full force with it. You know what I'm saying? And meanwhile, while we're sitting back and saying, well, let me read this and see, research my facts here, and let's see what this one says, and then let me see what that one says, and then let me put it all together. Meanwhile, millennials are like, man, damn all of that. Let's go. Let's go. You know what I'm saying? They ready to go. And so that's what I think, you know. And because nobody's reading, nobody's taking the time out to read, everybody's just, like I said, this is the information age. Man, look, it's right here at my fingertips. I'm ready to go. Let's get it. So, but go ahead, Kieris. You can holler in on that.
I think what you guys are saying is definitely correct. The teenagers and say early 20s, all of us, our minds are on that fast pace. I'm very impatient myself. I was told that even by my dad. we get patient and we get forgetful really quick because of the fact that we have phones, computers, tablets, laptops, all that stuff that gets in our heads. And they have these, we even hate buffering on our phones. Like, my phone buffers for more than like 10 seconds, I get really pissed off. And I start like getting mad at the AT&T company. Just because. So that's how we are. It's mostly because of the introduction of the technology, and we don't know how to cope with taking our time out reading and stuff like that. I knew before it was very hard for me, even though I was always good at it, and I actually started writing back when I was in middle school, but it's hard for a person to read sometimes because you got things that just distract you so quick. If I'm reading my phone buttons, I stop reading. Get the book, and I had issues with that. I know a lot of people have worse issues than me when they don't even pick up the book in the first place. I'm getting better now, but still, it's like a lot of teenagers that I know, friends that I have, they don't read. And when we do look at the news, that's the first thing we jump on. I think that was Tony that mentioned that. When you do see the news and we see something on it that was like hysterical, we don't wait for the behind the scenes facts. You just look at the news and say, hey, that's how it happened. And you're going to go tell and spread the words about what happened, and that's how it happened, even though it might not be the truth or not. So that's a critical part of us being patient. We just didn't, like, miss things and then be misinformed a lot easier than it was for you guys because you guys had the books and you were more knowledgeable than us in a lot of things. So, yeah, we are impatient. We do get misinformed. And I really think that maybe a little bit of the education system does play a part in it, simply because of the fact that even the teachers these days, they're not that far away from us. Some of them are probably like 25, 26 that teach these students, and they're still in that same age as the technology. Some teachers I remember in class where they would just pick up their phone in the middle of class and start texting in the middle of class while they're trying to teach us. That kind of stuff happens. You have history teachers who teach us, so I wouldn't say the wrong thing, but they wouldn't even really teach us because we look at the book and we can comprehend how we do. So that, I mean, that education does play a part in that, yet you do have to do your own outside studying if you want to get the truth on anything, especially in the society that we all live in now. So, yeah, you guys both are correct, but also let me say that it is our fault because we don't push ourselves to read. We don't think about it on a daily basis. We get into the fact and we're letting ourselves get dislike it. And that's what I would say is the issue with most of my friends. Even when I tell them something, I'll tell my friends something I read in the book differently from what they read in school, and then they'll take it and they go, oh, he's right, just because it sounds right. If it sounds right to most of us, we just say it is right. So if it sounds right, then it's going to spread the word. I could be telling them false. I could be telling them, like, nothing about what I'm saying is true, but they're going to take it aside because it sounds right. And they don't want to take the patience to go and look it up themselves. And I was a victim of that, too. And I remember my father used to tell me some things, and I was like, oh, dang, I just jump on it. Luckily, now I tend to not do it. I try to do it first and then come back with some type of discussion with it later on. But a lot of us, we hear it, and we just say, oh, okay, that's great, and just go spread the word. No matter what we know about it, we just think about it right, so we just say, yes, okay, that's right.
Now, one thing y'all generation has, y'all have access to information a lot quicker than we do. So you have, to go read the entire book where you could just shoot on the internet and find something readily available. I think y'all can use this technology to your advantage. I don't think that y'all do as much as you should, but technology can be, you know, just incorporate what we've shared with you, and then y'all can take it a lot further. But y'all got so much information on this, in this information age, with readily available and quickly accessed, that man, y'all got the world in y'all's hands.
Yeah, there's really no excuse. And even when my twins are 14, and I was telling them today is I listen to them try to legitimize something when there's no foundation to their argument, and I say that doesn't work in the real world. And it's a level of comfortability, and one thing that you definitely had that goes unspoken to until there's a disaster. And by the way, you notice whenever there's a success, you hear certain kind of terms like, you know, a single mother, and when it's a disaster, it's a single parent. But you had a father that fought based upon his principles to show you things that he knew and even invited you to challenge him, and he still did it with a firm hand. Men don't become men without structure and something of rigidness that holds us into doing what we do. Otherwise, we don't persevere. We have to know how to deal with challenge, deal with opposition, deal with some sort of aggression or obstacle, and learn how to overcome it, and even having guidance along the way definitely benefits. That keeps you from sulking as a man when you meet opposition that you're going to meet. I'm guaranteeing you that Will and Tony are going to say they have not had 44 and 53 years, or whatever it is, 53, 54-year-old Will that you are, that you've never had an issue after you turn 18 years of age. That shit just don't happen. Especially when you look like us, there's going to be some stuff come up that you ain't expecting to come up. And if you don't have what it takes to move through it, you will absolutely fail over and over again in life. But sometimes the failure is not bad because you can grow from it. But you will not succeed in life if you cannot deal with opposition. That is not going to happen.
Well, not only that, Greg, is you know the old saying is that, you know, the definition of insane is trying to do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So with that being said, yeah, you will absolutely fail each and every time until you change your mind. That's the equation that a lot of people seem to, you know, just forget. They forget that, well, I'm going to go in here and I'm going to just be determined and I'm going to win. But, you know, I'm going to go in here and I'm going to just be determined and I'm going to win. And you fail. And I'm going to go in here, and I'm going to just be, oh, and you get your ass kicked. And you have to realize that when you go in there, you have to be prepared. You have to know the material so you don't get your ass kicked. So that way when somebody says something that will definitely throw you off course, like as it happened to me a couple of times, you don't stand there with the goofy look saying, well, damn, what I say next? Because I don't know what to say next or what I don't know what to do. So you have to change your thinking. You have to change how you think about things and how you approach things. You can't just always step up to the plate and swing the bat and just take that old saying that your mama used to tell you, you swing that bat as hard as you can. Well, what about the keep your eyes on the ball? What about learning how to take a proper swing? See, none of that plays into effect. You just skim right over that part. We don't take into effect all that other stuff. So we definitely got to change our mindset. And I think that goes along with what the title of the show is. You know what I'm saying? You have to change your mindset. And if you can change how you think, and I think you say it all the time, Greg, then you can make other things happen. But you got to change how you think and perceive things. If you don't, you'll always fail. Always.
Yeah. And you always want to view yourself as a victim or somebody else's fault. And mine is always, changing perspective can change your result. And I think that's a needed position to take, no matter what.
And then once you fail, and then you always point the finger and say, well, damn, man, if it wasn't for that popcorn that I ate too much of, blah, blah, okay, now, and I'm talking strictly to the males, now that beta male comes out. You know, now we know exactly who you are. Man, you always pointing the finger because this cracker over here is holding me back, blah, blah, blah. You know the system is designed against us, blah, blah. Now that's that beta male coming out of you. Instead of being an alpha male like you know you should be, you're a beta male now.
And that doesn't get said enough, I think, by our generation. I know, Will, you're going to say it. Don't worry about it. But what began to get accepted is the whole beta male approach to life. And a lot of these so-called prosperity preachers, because most of their congregation was female, and I know it's going to offend some of you all, not that I would ever care. The reality is men were kind of like herded into being beta males, and your ability to deal with life outside of the so-called herd of those who look like you, and you know where I'm going with this, but when it comes to dealing with those who actually are quote-unquote oppressing or hunting you, you turn exactly into the beta. You go and run behind even the female. And that is something that we've seen. We're not talking about theory at this point. And so God would even start to promote the idea of not even being a leader. But what did you say, Will? You get into those fake